couple weeks ago, I noticed that our fridge in our house was not working as well as it should be. Now, I'm no engineer, but I'm pretty certain that my chocolate chip ice cream should not be soft when it comes out of the freezer. Amen? Amen. And it was. It was getting very soft. So I made the freezer on high blast, and it wasn't getting any better. And so we decided that it was time for a new fridge. And so we went out, and we ordered, it was not an expensive one, but when it came, it had this fancy thing called, an ice maker. Yes, it had an ice maker on it. And we had never had one before in the house that we moved into. And so we were excited to have an ice maker. Except I noticed that there was a reason why we didn't have an ice maker up to this point. It's because there was no water line in the back. And so being the closet plumber that I am, I decided that I was going to install a water line and run it up to the back of our new fridge. And that's what I did this past week. I went down there. I was going to do just one of those cheap ones that just sort of attach to it and you screw it right in there. But I read that that's not the way that plumbers do it. And so I decided to cut the copper line and install a little valve that shoots up to our fridge. And I started doing it. I remembered before I made the first cut to turn off the water. And then I kept on cutting. And then I held up the bucket and watched the water come and come and come. And I'm up there in the basement. I'm in the basement up there on a ladder holding a bucket. And I'm noticing my bucket is getting higher and higher and higher with water. And so I'm feeling like I need to call for some help. So my wife is home on that day. And so I call out to her. She doesn't respond. I call out even louder, and she doesn't respond. And so I pull out my phone. Good thing it's a waterproof phone because water's starting to come down. And I call her on the phone. I call five times, and she doesn't answer her phone. Where is she? So finally, I'm like, all right, wife's not coming. So I balance down on the ladder, sort of holding the water. I set it on the floor, and I go run upstairs and turn on all the faucets to try to drain all the water that's in the pipes. And I come down, and I find I've only partially flooded just one part of the basement. I did pretty good. But all of this happened because either, one, I didn't know what I was doing, which is, yes, true. But also, if only my wife had heard me. It turns out she didn't hear me because she was two floors up cleaning. And so she wasn't just ignoring me, but she was just too far up. She didn't have her phone with her either. But not hearing people can cause a lot of problems, right? When you can't hear, you miss important information. My wife missed the fact that I needed help because the basement was in trouble. And when we don't hear things, we miss important things. And this leads to issues, leads to problems. Well, that's what happens in our passage today. We're going to see that the author says that the people are dull of hearing. Now, because I use my wife in an illustration, I don't want to imply that my wife is dull of hearing. But that was a different situation. She doesn't hear real good, but she's not here in the room. But anyway, she's not dull of hearing. But the people in this passage, the Hebrews, the author says, are dull of hearing. And as we'll see, that this leads to some problems for the people. It causes some issues of immaturity. You can follow along for our second week now. We have a teaching sheet that you can, if you want, in your bulletins is a little sheet that you can follow along with and fill in the blanks. If you don't have one, you can run out there and grab one. Now, to give you context of what we're talking about here so you understand the passage, in the last passage that I read last week, the author begins talking about Melchizedek. And he starts talking about how Jesus is the great high priest and how he's like in the order of Melchizedek. And then he stops right in the middle of talking about this. Like, he's about to go into this deep theological description of Jesus Christ. And then he stops and he comes to verse 11 that we'll look at today. And he says this. He says, about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So the author is saying right at the beginning there, he says that he has a lot that he could say to his people, but he can't because they're deeper things and his people just don't understand it. They're dull of hearing, he says. When he says dull of hearing, what he's meaning is that they're slow to learn. And he's saying that there's so much for them to learn, but your dullness is preventing it. Your dullness, your slowness to learn is preventing from learning other things. How often does that happen to us, right? There's so much that we could learn. And yet, because we're not hearing well, we're missing out. We're not growing because we're not listening well, because we're being dull of hearing. What might we be missing out on because of our dullness? And he says that dullness is leading to spiritual immaturity. That our dullness of hearing is leading to spiritual immaturity. Just a little bit before we adopted our son Paul from an orphanage in China, we had his medical information sent to an international adoption doctor up at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. And she looked at it, and I asked her about how he was on the growth chart. You know, if you have kids, you know about this growth chart. Every time they go in for a physical, they look at how tall, how big you are and how heavy you are, all that, and they put you like a little on a little plot point, and they tell you what percentage you are that the child is compared to other kids. And she told me that children that come out of orphanages in China don't even look at a normal growth chart because they're so malnourished and so small for their age for various reasons that they don't use that kind of growth chart, a normal growth chart. They have a different one, sort of like a growth chart for kids that come out of orphanages. And Paul was small when we got him. He was almost 2, and he was something like a 1 percentile for size. And he would wear 6 to 12-month-old clothes, and they would still start to fall down on his little butt. And that's because he was malnourished, he was in an orphanage, and he just wasn't getting the care that he needed. And that's how the author is describing Christians in his church. He's saying that because they're not getting the nourishment, that they're malnourished, they're immature, they're small for their age, they're spiritually small. You know, some of us are probably like that. Some of us have been Christians for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and yet we're still the size of like a 6 to 12-month-old Christian. And the author describes these Christians by talking about baby food. He says, you need milk, not solid food, but solid food is for the mature. And so in other words, because they're dull of hearing, they're immature, and they're like spiritual babies. They're like spiritual babies that drink milk from a bottle. I want to take exception with what the author's saying here. Because I don't think there's really anything wrong with eating baby food, right? There's nothing wrong with baby food. In fact, now that I mention food, it's making me a little hungry. Would you mind if I have a quick snack before we continue? Is that all right? I don't want to be rude, so would maybe someone can have a snack with me. Ray, do you want to come on up? Come on up. Here, let's have a quick snack. They will wait. We're Baptists. We'll wait at least an hour for the service. Come on up here. All right, so I got us a nice snack here. You know, the best baby food is the bottle. And bottles of milk are just the best. So let's just, come on, take a little. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Yeah. I like that. But you know, baby food continues on, and there's this great baby food, pureed peas. Have you ever had pureed peas?
No, just bananas.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to try now.
Okay.
So we have some pureed peas here that I got special for us. Here you go.
Okay,
now,
thank you.
Hold on to that. Okay. And we got our great spoons. All right. Here, you want, which one do you want?
This one.
All right, you take that. No, hold on. Don't eat before me. Well, this is for me here. All right, I've never actually had pureed peas when I was giving them my kids, but this was one of the first foods that they had. I thought we could have done pureed bananas, but that wouldn't, yeah, no. Pureed, this is healthier. It's got with vegetables. So let's give this a try here. Yeah. You know when that baby makes that face for the first time tasting food?
I just made one.
Yeah, I can, yeah. All right. But there's the, oh, you know what I forgot? I forgot our bibs. All right, here you go. I don't know if it'll fit. I should have put it there at the top. Yeah. I've got our bibs here.
Okay.
Ah, that is a, oh, man. I do not like pureed peas.
Watch that down.
Okay. So this is a toddler staple, the puffs. Have you ever had puffs before?
No.
I don't know. Did they have puffs back in your day?
I don't think so.
Okay. So puffs, we basically raised our kids on puffs and to keep them quiet. So I don't have anything special for you. So I'll just pour them in your hand. Is that enough there?
Oh,
okay, I can give you more.
No,
all right. So let's give these a try. Oh, this is banana and kale. Banana kale. So.
That's great. Better than
me. Yeah. Actually, I'm not too impressed with that either. I should have. You bring him down to your wife. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. All right. You can have a seat there. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't like kale. All right. Well, I see you all laughing at me. You're laughing at me. What? Well, I think you're laughing at me because it's silly for adults to eat baby food, isn't it? It's more than silly. It's a little weird, right? It's a little weird to see you know, someone be drinking out of a bottle. And if you agree with me here, then you are agreeing with the point that the author is trying to make. He's saying that Christians who are eating this baby food look weird like that, he says. And yet so often that's what we're doing spiritually. Grown-ups are not supposed to eat baby food. And older Christians should not be on a baby Christian diet. Babies eat baby food because they can't handle. Babies can't handle the adult food. So they need that baby food. You know, if you gave a baby a steak, they may chew on it a little bit. But if they got it down, they'd start choking on it because they don't have that ability to eat that food. And how true is that for us? That we're like stuck spiritually on immature stuff. That the Bible is sitting here. Ready for us to learn, ready for us to grow, And yet so often we're just stuck on the basic spiritual stuff. And it prevents us from growing. You know, we live in a time when Scripture has never been more available than it is in this day. You could literally open up your phone and get 50 plus different translations of the English text of Scripture. You could go online and hear from art and get articles from famous Christians, both of the present and the past, from hundreds of years ago. Some of the greatest thinkers of the world you could get for free. You could go on places like YouTube and see sermons from some of the greatest, quote unquote, greatest pastors out there. Some of the greatest speakers out there. And yet, how often do we really do that? How often do we instead spend time posting about what we ate for dinner on Facebook, which I actually did yesterday, not realizing I was going to say this. But how often do we say that? We post about the food we ate. Or we go on YouTube and watch cat videos when instead we could be learning something. And I'm not downing cat videos. What I'm saying is that we are missing out on so much nutrition if we would just focus our efforts on learning. And in verses 12, 13, and 14, we see that there's four ways that the immaturity starts to show in a person. And the first one is this. The author says that there's difficulty taking in spiritual food independently. He doesn't directly say this, but he says you need milk, not solid food. And so immature Christians have difficulty taking in spiritual food independently. Think about this. The babies can't just take up a carton of milk and start. You know, they need some sort of mechanism to get the milk in there slowly, either a bottle or a body part, right? And because of that, they need something, and Christians are the same way spiritually. Because of their immaturity, they need something sort of to make it easier to digest. You know, immature Christians need a pastor who's engaging and energetic and uses interesting stuff to capture their attention. And when they do that, then maybe they learn a little bit. But if the pastor is boring, even if he has solid content, they're going to walk out of the service saying, "That was boring. And that was the only thing they got out of it." That's because the immaturity requires them that they can't take spiritual nutrition independently. They need help being sort of spoon-fed or bottle-fed the nutrition. A mature Christian or a maturing Christian, on the other hand, can begin to take things independently. And maybe the pastor's having an off week, and yet there's some solid content in that message, and they're able to maybe get past the boringness and hear from the Scripture and be able to process it in their lives. Or maybe even the maturing Christian is able to open up Scripture on their own and read a little bit of it and grow from it and not have to be taught or entertained to get it. And so they have difficulty taking in spiritual food independently. But second, they also have an inability to teach. They're unable to teach Scripture. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God." He's saying that they're spiritually old enough, but they still don't know enough to be able to teach others or to help others. He's not talking about knowing enough as if like the pastoral level, like to be a leader of a church. He's just talking about knowing the basics enough to be able to help another person and teach another person or share your faith with another person. Let me ask you, if someone asks you, "How do I become a Christian?" would you be able to help that person? If someone asks you a basic question about Christianity, would you be able to answer it? I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. I'm saying this to try to possibly jolt you out of your immaturity and to stir you on to try to grow in maturity. Third, so inability to teach. We also see that there's an inability to pursue righteousness. Inability to pursue righteousness. He says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. And just like babies can't process adult food, immature Christians can't process the mature spiritual food. Meaning that when they take it in, they can't take it in and process it and be able to apply it into their lives. In Scripture, or preaching, as we hear it or read it, should motivate us to move towards righteousness, to grow in our relationship with God, to grow more in love with God, or to apply some area in our life, not just to hear it and do nothing with it. And as you mature, you begin to take that, begin to take Scripture or take teaching, and you begin to apply it to your life and learn from it and grow from it. But immature Christians don't do that. They have an inability to pursue righteousness. Are you, even right now, applying what you're hearing? Or is it just going in one ear and out the other? My 4-year-old is great at that. He hears something. If he doesn't want to do it, he just lets it continue right through and go out the other. My 6-year-old is just slightly better at hearing things and possibly applying it. My 9-year-old is starting to get better. But you see, with maturity, you begin to be able to take things in and apply it to your life. So will you do that this morning? As we're reading through Hebrews, will you hear what the author has to say? And as you walk out, not just turn instantly to what you're going to have for lunch or what you're going to eat for lunch or what you're going to watch on TV or any of these things, but are you going to think about, all right, how can I apply the Scripture that we've read today and how can I live it out? And fourth, we see that there's an inability to discern good from evil. So immature Christians have an inability to discern good from evil. He says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. My wife is a physical therapist, and she uses this term sometimes called safety awareness. She said that when she works in a nursing home, that some of the elderly patients have poor safety awareness. It sometimes makes them end up in the nursing home because they fall and hurt themselves and end up there. But babies are the same way, right? Babies have poor safety awareness. You have to watch them all the time or they're going to do something. I remember when my 9-year-old was just a baby. He was crawling around and I put him on top of the bed. And I decided to go do something real quick. I was in the room, and I just turned around for a second, and he starts crawling off towards the edge of the bed. And before I know it, I hear a boom, and he's there on the floor crying. Wait a second, you were in the middle of the bed. Can't you know not to get near the edge? Well, I couldn't reason with a 6-month-old or 8-month-old or whatever. He has poor safety awareness. My other kids are the same way. The 4-year-old now, just 2 years ago, we were at the Baltimore Aquarium and we were going up an escalator and he decides to stick his hand in the escalator. And after a hospital visit, he was fine after some stitches and everything. But he's never stuck his hand in an escalator since then. Amen. Poor safety awareness. And likewise, immature Christians have very poor safety awareness. They do not know how to keep themselves out of evil or away from evil or away from bad things, things that could lead them astray or cause them to drift from God. And just like babies, they will go right out on the edge without recognizing the danger. They'll stick their hands in things without realizing the danger of doing that. And this leads to two big problems. First of all, that they don't recognize the good. And so when there's something good going on, they don't press into that and try to hold on to the good things. And they also don't recognize the evil and know to avoid it. This leads to getting involved in behaviors, immature Christians getting involved in behaviors that cause them to be involved in sinful practices and behaviors without even recognizing it. When I grew up, when I was in high school growing up, I was part of this missions organization that really ingrained in our minds that we need to avoid a lot of different things, but one of the things was secular music and non-Christian music. And so I grew up basically recognizing that I should not be listening to non-Christian music. And I'm not here this morning telling you to do that, but just work with me here for a second. And there's a number of my friends that sort of held on to that practice as we were in high school. But I saw that as some of them drifted away from God, I could almost pinpoint their relation. I could see, like I could see their relationship with God, where it was at based on what they were listening to. That as they began to listen to certain types of music that was non-Christian, but maybe not horrible, then that was probably where their relationship was, sort of right in the middle. But some of my Christian friends then moved on to music that was, back then, that was just really, really crude and vulgar and what, you know, wouldn't be talking about sinful things. And that was likely describing their relationship with God as well. And so I'm not telling you to avoid non-Christian music, but I'm making that point, or attempting to show you that how we are spiritually shows our ability to discern sinfulness and not discern sinfulness. And this is true in a lot of other ways. Like immature Christians do not know how to avoid sin. Do you know, church? Are you able to recognize if you're watching something sinful on TV? Or do you just keep on staying close to it? Do you know, church, when you're on the computer looking at something that is sinful? Do you know, church, when you are with friends that are just not good for you spiritually and are leading you in the wrong direction? See, immature Christians will not be able to discern that evilness or that sinfulness. Whereas maturing Christians will be able to discern what is evil and hopefully have the common sense to avoid things that are going to lead them astray. And so my challenge to you, in all four of the areas that I just talked about, is to not be complacent with this, to seek to mature as a Christian. And that's what the author now is going to say in our last few verses that we're going to look at. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washing and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." The author says that we need to leave the immaturity, leave the elementary stuff, and intentionally seek maturity. I think the implication of this is that you have a choice about maturing. Being dull of hearing is not like a handicap or a mental condition that you have. Being hard of hearing or dull of hearing is a choice that you're making. And the author is saying that we need to leave these. And so we can intentionally grow and mature, he says. Church, you have a choice. You have a choice to grow. Will you take it? Will you grow, or you just stay in your immaturity? And the author says that maturity begins with leaving the elementary doctrines. And he lists a couple of them. He says these are foundational things. Things like Christian conversion. Like how does a person become a Christian? Things like the washings, he says, which there's some debate as to what that means. But possibly like the Jewish rituals that he's now saying that you don't have to do anymore now that you have freedom in Christ. There's not rituals that you have to partake in. The laying on of hands or the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, meaning that the end times. How often do we, as we're starting to just get a little bit into Christianity, get fixated on something? Fixated on like the end times stuff. Well, that guy on TV says he saw heaven. So I'm going to read about that. Or this pastor says that the moon's going to be red. Or this or that. Or someone's coming back at this time. Or 5 plus 75 plus 90. And all these different things. And we spend so much time focusing on the end times and miss out on the current time. Where Jesus says, go and make disciples. Go and mature others instead. And don't get fixated on these things. And the author says that we need to leave these things. We need to leave these things. He's not saying forget them as if they're not important. Conversion is important. End times, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back, is important. More of, I think of it as like you build upon it. Like in kindergarten, we all learn the alphabet. And I bet now, however old you are, you're grateful that you learned the alphabet. But you didn't just stay learning the ABCs. You didn't just stick now, if you're 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, you didn't just stick with just focusing on A, B, C, D, E, and that. No, you've moved on from that. But you haven't forgotten it. You've just built upon it. And now, you know, you can put those letters together and read them and do all sorts of things with what you learned early on. And so it's, when he says leave it, he's not just saying forget about it. He's saying build on it, grow. Take those things and then mature above them and use them as a building block to the next thing. So as I wrap this up, I want to give you some suggestions on how you can, what we might say, leave the elementary teachings. And I want to give you two areas that we can do this. Two areas would be corporately and personally. And so growing corporately to leave the elementary teachings, I want to give you a couple ways that we can do that. First of all, commit to regular church attendance. Now you're here this morning, and so you've got 1 week down. One out of 52, pretty good, right? But there's some of you I'm not going to see for another month. And I would challenge you. Attend each week. Come and hear the scripture. And hear us as we seek to study what God has to say to us this week. And if you don't like my preaching, fine, go somewhere else. But go somewhere each week. Don't skip weeks at a time and let me see you again in the fall. I forget your names by then. And then it's awkward for both of us as I'm like, hi, I think I know you, but I'm not sure. No, attend each week. Attend each week. And as you're here, come at 9 a.m. and try out a Sunday school class. That's a way that you can dive in a little deeper into Scripture. And we have three different classes going on. They're wrapping up for the summer, but starting, and we'll have one going on in the summer, one class for everyone. But starting in the fall, we'll have a number of different classes going on at the same time, and you can pick which one you want to go to for that semester. And we'll have one, hopefully, again, on the basics of Christianity, where if you want to really study and learn about the basics of what it means to be a Christian and grow from there, we will teach you that. We will build it. Will you come? And third, commit to a small group. Those also are wrapping up right now. And we may have one going on over the summer, but by the fall, we'll have a number of different small groups, and that'll give you an opportunity to dive in and study what we've preached on Sunday and dive into it a little deeper and build relationships with people and grow and challenge each other and sharpen each other. These are all corporate things you can do to put yourself in the position to grow spiritually. So will you do that? Will you commit? So you walk out of here making a commitment that you will do these things, or at least some of these things. But second, I want to challenge you to grow personally. To grow personally. And there's a lot of different ways that I could give you to do this. But I want to focus just on one. I've mentioned this several different times before. And this is commit to learning the Scripture. Commit to learning the Scripture. I heard just yesterday, as I was listening to a teaching by Rick Warren, he gave this hand illustration that I thought was pretty good. And so I stole it from him. Thank you, Rick. And the hand illustration talks about how you grasp on to the Word of God. And it starts with your little pinky finger with hearing. And so if all you're doing is hearing the Word of God, that's good. It's better than nothing. But this is your grasp on Scripture. And a pinky grasp is not a strong grasp. All right, so then maybe you hear it and then you read it. The two fingers, a little bit better. You read it, but also meditate on it. Now you have three fingers, a little bit better grasp, and then you study it. Or memorize it. That's the five fingers. And then you take what you've learned and apply it. And suddenly now, no one's getting this Scripture out of my hand. Whereas if you're just hearing it and reading it, then you're going to have a tough time. You know, people say that what you hear, you'll forget within a few days. Most of what you hear will have been forgotten. So commit to hearing it and reading it and meditating on it and studying it and memorizing it and then applying it into your life. The more fingers you have, the better grasp you will have on that, and the more, I dare say, you will grow spiritually. So here's the reality. Most of us are not where we should be spiritually. And as the author is implying here, it's really your fault where you're at. It's your fault and it's my fault. It's our fault where we're at spiritually. So after hearing a message like this, I want to ask you, what will you do about it? What are you going to do about it? You can walk out and do nothing, but if you do, you're going to be the very definition of what the author says is dull of hearing. So don't be like that. Don't be dull of hearing and just let it go in one ear and out the other. Take what has been said this morning and apply it to your lives and seek to leave the elementary teachings and pursue maturity. Because it's up to you. It's up to you if you're going to grow. So the choice is yours. Will you grow or will you stay in your immaturity? Let's pray.